Welcome, everyone. I'm Laura DeFranco, the CEO of Brave Healer Productions, where we have a mission to wake the world up to what's possible, one brave word at a time. And here today to help me with that mission are some of the amazing authors of a new book that we have coming out. Get ready for this title, y'all, The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Successful Soul Professional, 22 Powerful Growth Strategies for Up-Leveling Your Soul-Aligned Business. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, before I introduce these amazing women to you, ginormous thank you goes to Camille Miller. She is the lead author of this book and the founder of the Natural Life Business Partnership. Soul Professional is her jam. She wants you to understand what that means. Camille, thank you so much for bringing this stellar expert author cast together. I had been so anticipating reading your all's chapters, and you just did not disappoint. We wouldn't be here without Camille, so I wanted to say thank you to her right up front. But who else do we have to talk to today? Claudia Holler is an NBC HWC board certified health and wellness coach, the owner of Vibrant Health by Claudia and Virtual Health Coaches. Your health is her passion. I have Dr. Donna Lewandowski with me. She's the founder of Waypower Consulting, specializing in coaching and development using a strengths-based approach rooted in positive psychology. And I have Jennifer Peterzak with me. She combines her work as a certified public accountant with energy clearing and other modalities to ensure her clients receive holistic care and value as they decipher the language of their business, the numbers. Oh my God, the numbers, Jennifer. I loved your chapter. All right, Renee McDonald is with us, and she has 20 years of experience providing therapy and coaching and is the founder of AOTT and Wellbeing for Me, where she helps clients heal, grow, and transform. Phew, all right, you guys. If you don't understand the power of the women I have in my Zoom room today, I don't know what's gonna do it for you, but let's hear from them. Claudia, you're going to start off the party today. Tell us about the chapter that you wrote for this book.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with all these beautiful souls. My chapter is number 16, and it's called No Broken, Just Different, Harnessing the Power of a Broken Brain. And in my chapter, I am really bringing together, I think a lot of us entrepreneurs have a little bit of a broken brain, right? Like we're our thoughts are racing. We have a lot of ideas, and a lot of us might have a touch of ADD or ADHD. And it's really about how to acknowledge that and how to make our businesses and our lives better with the brain that we have that are actually genius, but really a little bit different, and makes it sometimes hard to take our control back of our thoughts.
I'm so glad that you opened up today's conversation with this, because I've believed for a really long time that almost all super creative and especially entrepreneurial people have a little bit of that in them that either hasn't been recognized or we just don't talk about it. Yeah. And the labels, I don't know if they do anybody any good, but what else do you want to say about that?
That was actually part of my story, is that I was looking for help, trying to figure out what it is that makes things so hard for me. And I came across the person that said, I don't believe in labeling. And I think that there's two theories to that. It's like, I needed to know what it is to be able to deal with it. But then I think then where the difference is do you thrive with it, accept it, figure out what you need to do and thrive, or do you use it as an excuse? And I think that's really the difference. So the labeling for me is not the problem. It's what you do with it once you know what it is. So that's what I think.
Yeah. And how you're moving forward with, you know, what you need to do. Do you see a particular problem repeating over and over again? Like if you were going to tell the big group of entrepreneurs out there, hey, you need to do this first, what do you think it is?
Well, first, I think it's really the awareness of if you see procrastination, that you're disorganized, that have a short attention span, you've impulse control issues sometimes, like, you know, poor internal supervision, there's definitely signs that it goes into that category of ADD, ADHD, that H in ADHD really only describes the hyperactivity, which a lot of people don't have. I don't have that. So once you recognize that, I think, and you see the potential and how it can change relationships, business, even your self-confidence again, it's almost like a hook that needs to take grasp, and then everything else is kind of like, okay, now I understand, and everything builds on top of that. But really, awareness is the first step, in my opinion.
And awareness is everything, isn't it? It's right. Everything for everything. And our authors are going to be dropping these golden nuggets of awareness today, y'all. So I hope you're getting excited about, you know, the direction you might be able to go in once you hear those nuggets of awareness. This is game-changing, business-changing, life-changing kind of stuff in this book. And I thank all of you for not just for saying yes to this, but for then really stepping up to the challenge of sharing those vulnerable stories, and also the powerful strategies for business owners. This is going to take everything to the next level. Claudia, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Donna, you're next. Tell us about your amazing chapter.
Thanks, Laura, and hello to you and to all my wonderful co-authors there. My chapter is chapter 12, and the name of it is It's Not Too Late, Clearing a Path to Your Purpose. In early 2021, I was kind of walking around minding my own business. I was walking every morning. I was eating healthy. I was really nailing the self-care. Finally, I felt like I'd cracked the code on it and really taking care of myself and feeling better than I had in a long time. Although I do admit to thinking kind of, you know, is this all there is? Have I done enough? And God, there's got to be something more. And the universe came and grabbed me by the shoulders and kind of smacked me on the side of the head, I think. I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer that had spread to my nodes. And the chapter is about that experience, really, talking about what I went through and how it really helped me to focus my mind on what was important. I really did feel like the universe had grabbed me by the shoulders and just said, focus. And I wanted to really think, you have a lot of time to think during chemo in between, especially during COVID when you're by yourself because no one's allowed to go with you. And, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking the most valuable resource all of us have is time. And I, like many people, had made the mistake of thinking I just had kind of an unlimited amount of it. So it really helped me to focus and think about where do I want to spend my time? By the way, I'm fine now. I'm healthy. It'll be 2 years clean in September. So don't worry that I'm on the last leg there, but we never know, right? So it was really important to think hard about, well, how do I want to spend that time? Exactly what is the work that I want to do? And so that's really what my chapter is about.
Wow. Why do we need such loud wake-up calls? I so feel that. And I want everyone to hear this one. Like, we do need the reminders. We need to be reminded to kind of snap out of that. We have forever to do our dreams, and especially as business owners, right? Do you think that you could have listened sooner, or was this just divine timing? Like, I know we believe in divine timing of all this stuff. Yeah.
You know, I do believe in timing. Yes, I would like to hope. And it's one of the reasons, one of the motivations for writing this chapter is that maybe somebody, even if it's one person, would hear and not need to experience the wrecking ball that I did to make some of those changes. But I do feel that things happen for a reason. And I'll tell you something else. Once I got through everything, if somebody could have said, I can make it so that you never had that experience, that cancer, would you go for it? Now, I don't want it again. I don't think anybody would. But I would answer no to that, because it was such a powerful way to really think about what was the most important things to me. So I wouldn't trade the experience. I don't want it again, but I was really hoping, could this help somebody else get that wake up call? Because, you know, we always go through periods of that, right? Where we think about it, but then it doesn't seem to last, you know?
Yep, I do know. It fades. We don't really pay attention. We're not really prioritizing. It's just kind of, and then the universe might send another reminder through something we heard, a friend, a this, a that. Are we paying attention, y'all? Are we paying attention? And what are you going to do about it if you are paying attention? And I don't want, this isn't about scaring people into that. Mm-mm. Right. What else do you want to say about that?
No, it wasn't at all about that. I mean, that's why I say I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I can also tell you that I experienced more moments of pure joy during my treatment than I have probably in the 5 years beforehand. And I think it was because I was finally focusing on what was important and all of those little moments. In fact, I even coined a phrase called ninjoy, because they would like sneak up on me, you know, and I would just be lost in the beauty of exactly what I was doing that moment today. And that's what I'm trying to do, is to make sure that those kind of pieces of that journey that I hold on to.
Ninjoy.
Ninjoy. Isn't that a great word?
It is. I'm going to have to use that in my next book. Awesome.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much for being here.
Sure.
And for sharing that story. And for, again, just another thank you to all of you for it. It's one thing to have these stories, but then to choose to write them in a book that you know is going to be published for the world to read is quite a thing. Takes a warrior, y'all. You're good. I'm saying y'all a lot today, I realize. I think I might have been a cowgirl in another life. Jennifer, are you ready to introduce yourself?
Sure. Laura, thank you for having me. And I can't believe I am paired with this group of amazing women. You all have wonderful stories, and thank you for sharing them. My chapter is chapter 9. It's a financial breakthrough in reading your numbers with confidence. I am a CPA, so that is the basis for, I'm going to call, my healing practice, because everything and anything that we do can be healing, right? If we're looking for those things that are difficult or holding us back. And oftentimes, as I've been doing tax and accounting work for many years, I find that people show up in a position of feeling some kind of emotion or charge or not enoughness sometimes when they come to their numbers and really want to use that as a tool and skill set to make better decisions in their business, right? And I have found that by pairing things like Akashic record readings for individuals and business, as well as energy healing, I can really take a holistic approach when something like that comes up, and not just shove it under the rug and get through whatever we're there to get through. And so that's how my strategy came to be. It's very basic. It brings emotion and numbers together. And I'm really excited for people to start seeing this and trying this.
Me too. I think that the way that you combine these things, and this is, oh my goodness, I've got a whole question for all of you about this later, but the way that we combine it, we're doing a holistic kind of business, but this is a game changer. I told you earlier that I loved your chapter. The reason that resonated so much with me is because the numbers were bringing up fear for almost my whole career. And at one point I had to pause and go, why am I afraid of this? Like, the numbers should be my friend, and it should be the, you know, what I get excited about instead of this other direction I was going with my emotions. What else do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, it's very common, and it can be like really buried too, because society, especially if you're in the business world, kind of pushes that out of you. You know, you have to know your expertise. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to be able to quantify it in many cases. And so that just can bury some of these things that have come up. You know, I like to use the chalkboard math example. I think I might have put that in the beginning of my strategy, which is, you know, if you remember grade school math, going up to the chalkboard and doing an exercise and, you know, feeling the anxiety of doing that. And, you know, at least you weren't up on the board by yourself, but, you know, you're comparing yourself to how fast other people are going through their exercises. All of those, that full body experience sometimes comes out when people sit down in front of me with a page of numbers. And, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, do I know what I need to know? Am I going to feel a certain way? Is that fear comes back up in those circumstances. So unless we recognize that, you know, okay, I've had some quote unquote traumatic experiences with math or money, you know, and that I carry that with me, this is a great opportunity for my clients to release that. And so I want to honor it and acknowledge that.
Yeah, really important. Are they going to think I'm stupid? Am I stupid? Like, holy crap, you guys, that's rough. And here, you know, here we are, grown women running businesses, and that little kid trauma is surfacing up, trying to sabotage us, you know, at this point in time. Like, I do have to talk to myself, and I do that. I'm like, Laura, no, you're an intelligent woman. You have a lot of awareness. You can do this. You find the right kind of people and the right community, like we have in this book, to help you. You're golden, right? So I love that, Jennifer. I think it's really important for people to understand what's possible in terms of understanding your numbers and even loving a spreadsheet. Can you imagine, you guys?
Wild.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for being here, Jennifer.
Absolutely.
Renee, are you ready to tell us about your chapter?
Yes, thanks for having me on, everyone. And I'm so pleased to be here with everyone. And these are the lovely ladies here and you guys. So my chapter is chapter 21, and it's the USP solution. And it's all about how your own adversity is your unique selling point. So I guess I don't know how much you want me to share about that initially, but where would you like me to go with
that? Well, let me just say that I loved this. I love that you used this in your title, and it helped me understand what that even meant. So let's start there. If you were going to help our listeners today, you know, where does that traditional initials come from, and how did you tweak it?
Okay. So, well, before I was a therapist, before I was a therapist, I used to be a marketer and used to work in the film and TV biz, and, you know, used to do a lot of different things. And so we used to talk about, this is old school stuff, we used to talk about USP all the time with products, with services, you know, whether it was, you know, selling Coca-Cola or selling, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's or any of those kind of products, you know, when we were doing marketing campaigns, particularly for television commercials. Okay, so there's that kind of, you know, how does McDonald's differentiate themselves from Kentucky Fried Chicken? You know, what's the differentiated points? We don't think enough about ourselves in the same capacity in a service-driven model, because our ego gets in the way. So this is where it's really interesting. And so I've gone down a lot of rabbit holes around that, because that's been my biggest challenge when I've gone to, I guess, social media marketing events and trying to wrap my head around it. I've studied this stuff in the past, used to work in this area, and then now I'm working, trying to promote myself, but I don't want to be that ego place. But I also don't want to not tell clients about what I do, because I think I can help them, you know, and so that's a big part of it. So I had to really delve deep into that for myself to work out what my unique selling points were. And then I do that for other people. I do a lot of business coaching for soul-based businesses. You know, so a lot of therapists were coming to me, how did you work out how to market yourself, Renee? How did you do that? And it was actually my own adversity that actually I was effectively marketing to, you know, the general public, because I had a lot of different personal experiences that I believe made me a different therapeutic coach. Yeah.
Yeah, I love this topic so much. I often say to authors, you know, everything has been done, said, written about before, but not by you. And so when we figure out the you in you and we market that, oh, the M word, y'all don't like to hear, you know, the marketing thing, because we're not super great at it. But the authors in this book, you guys, they're good at it. And they're good at it for this reason, because they understand who they are at the core. Yeah. What else do you want to tell people about what's most important to understand about that, Renee?
Yeah, so some of my personal experiences have been extremely unique. And so I went into it in the chapter to kind of highlight what my unique experiences were. But it's almost so that people could think about that about themselves, and then what that unique point might be, that then how can you put yourself either in my shoes or someone else's shoes, like from almost an empathic perspective around how you might market yourself. So that's that's what the chapter is effectively all about. But it's a kind of a story around me losing a friend and how now she actually, I'm now starting to channel her, and how I believe she's one of my cheer squads and helps me market it myself in a different way.
So this is so perfect, actually, to move into this next thing I want to talk to you all about, because Renee's story about channeling messages from a friend who's passed, like, where do you find that in a business book? Well, you find it in this business book, right? Because soul professionals are different kinds of amazing aliens to me, calling myself out as an alien right now too. And I want to talk about this. Donna, what does it mean to you to be a soul professional?
Such a great question. And I'm shaking my head yes, because sometimes you do feel like, you know, one of these is not like the others, you know, because of the way that we do it. You know, for me, what that means is taking my interests and my talents, of which I, at this point in life, you know, pretty self-aware of, like you said, Laura, you know, you've got this self-awareness, same for me, about what I'm interested in and what I'm good at, but harnessing that in a way that has the biggest impact for other people. And then that ultimately will be the legacy that I leave this time around, you know, and it's really important. I think as we get older, and that's why I say it's not too late, is, you know, I'll be 65 in November. And so you really start to think about how many marks can I make for people? How many people can I get to where they want to go? And I had put together a mission statement or a vision for myself a couple of years ago, and I keep it on my desk, and it's every day I'll touch a heart, encourage a mind, nurture a soul, inspire a soul, and nurture myself because I can. And I think that's the key part too, is authentically, but it's not a time to put your light under a bushel. And that authenticity, when it comes through, people gravitate towards that because they see that you have something to offer them. And I think that brings them to you. So the marketing becomes a bit easier, to be honest.
Agree. Fully agree with that. Thank you, Donna. I love that answer to that question. And I love hearing all of the answers to these questions. It's the reason for the collaborations, because I know that we need all your voices. We need all of the ways you all talk about soul professional, right? Jennifer, you're next on this one. What does it mean to you to be a soul professional?
It's the deepest kind of relationship with work, I think. We live in a society where it's business, it's not personal, was thrown around quite a bit. And I think a large population has woken up to, wait, everything I do is personal. So how can that be? And I think that soul professionals take it a layer deeper and really look at the soul mission of why I'm here on this planet right now. And who am I here to serve? And on the days that I don't really want to wake up and do, I get up because there's a larger audience that needs me. So that's how I see us.
Yeah, it is all personal. It's all personal. I think what you hit on is one of my favorite parts of being a soul professional, doing business differently in the world. I do become friends with my clients. I do have relationships with people, friendships that I honor and am so grateful for. And then when the community of those kinds of people come together, there is a whole other level of energy in that. And it's magical and amazing, and why I feel alive every day in life and business, right? Such big potato stuff to me here, you guys. Renee, how about you? What does it mean to be a soul professional?
Using my heart, soul and spirit in everything I do, and treating my work as a passion project every day.
Yes, another amazing addition to what this means. So for you, is that like laughing every day? What does that mean?
Really leading with my heart, not my head. Leading with my soul purpose. I was talking to a business coaching group that I'm working with at the moment and leading, all about your ikigai. And so that goes into my stuff that I talked about in my chapter. It's around, what is it that your purpose is, your vocation, linking your purpose, your passion, your vocation all together. And that is an amazing combination that can lead to like almost soul gold in your work. Yeah.
I like that term, soul gold. You also made me think of, Don, you made me think of what she said earlier, ninjoy. The ninjoys are, you know, they're there when I am in that passion. Okay, Claudia, it's for this one, I know it's hard to go last on the what does this mean to you after hearing all of that, but what would you add for you? What makes you a soul professional?
It's actually not hard. I mean, it was all very inspiring. And, you know, this meeting all of you and every event always is so inspiring. This one actually is so, so important for me, because the reason I am doing what I'm doing or the way I show up is because of a similar story that you were talking about, Renee. My cousin lost both of her children, one at 18 years old, bone cancer, and the other one had an accident in her own apartment later in life. So she lost both of her kids, and it definitely challenged my faith. And the only way I could deal with it is saying, I'm going to show up because you guys never got a chance to. They were great kids, like all kids are. Great kids never got a chance to shine. And I was like, I cannot hide anymore. I don't have the right to not show up because you guys never got a chance. So I truly every night check in with the two of them and say, did I show up? And so for me, what that means, so to bring that back to the soul professional, is to really be embracing who I am and to stop trying to be somebody I'm not. But if I need something I don't have, to go to people like you, soul professionals, and have you be on my A-team and just say, hey, this is a talent I don't have, but this is a talent I need to get where I want to go. And meet with people that really have that same vibrancy that I think we are, you know? So that's what it means to me, is really to embrace my gifts, my talents, and show them fully and take help when I need it and where I need it from other people.
I love the question you're asking yourself too. Did I show up today like in the way that I wanted to, right? That meant the most to me. I love that. And of course, it makes you think of everybody in your inner circle, your family, the people that are closest to you, living with you every day. I love the feeling of all the ways you talked about soul professional. Okay, so I think that it takes a certain something to go from starting your soul-aligned business to becoming successful in that business. There's a lot of definitions of success here, but thriving, sustaining business that supports you and everyone you love and serve, right? That could be time, energy, resources, money, all of it. So Jennifer, what do you think is one of the most important things about creating that success in business?
Creating it, always coming from a place of growth. You know, there's never a time to stop growing. There's never going to be a time where there's quote unquote enough. And I take to my business every day that sense of commitment to growth. And that doesn't necessarily mean that my top line is going to grow exponentially every year. It means that I'm going to really hone into who my audience is and who I'm here to help, and make sure that that grows in the way that it needs to organically, naturally, and every aspect of my business the same. Constantly checking in and giving enough time to really allow myself to reevaluate. So I think growth is number one for me.
I love it. I also think that checking in, remembering to even schedule the check-ins in. Yes. We get so caught up in everything we're doing, we forget to check back in and evaluate, you know? Mm-hmm. Love it, Jennifer. Renee, how about you? You know, what do you want to share with our listeners today about what you think is one of the most important things about creating the success?
Very good question. And I actually talk about that in my chapter. So I've come up with a formula about this. How to create your own version of success so that it is then your own USP rather than copying people out there. Because I've personally, it's awesome when people want to emulate you. But because I've had so many tragic events happen in my life, it actually can be painful when people try to exact copy me, because there's often like my success has often been linked with some kind of pain point as well, which is so interesting. But anyway, what I've then, this is kind of why my adversity has been my unique selling point too. And so if we link it back to that, it's how I've worked out what my soul gold actually is that I'm here to help other people realize you don't have to be depressed your whole life to work out that there might be on the other side of that might be joy. So it's that, you know, you can have a dark night of the soul and still on the other side of that find joy again. A lot of people think they have to stay stuck forever. And what I've found is obviously we need to work on things, but anything's possible. I've seen it in my practice with all the therapy that I've done over the years, with all the coaching I've done over the years. It's possible. And I believe the kind of USP stuff that I've come up with, particularly around manifestation, is almost one of the keys that people need to, you know, think about when it comes to success, whether it's actually in work, business, or their personal life. And it's all to do with how you see and view your past, who you actually are and what makes you special as a person, what your behaviors then are in relation to those two things, and then working out what your purpose is. And sometimes you need a bit of guidance around that, but then working that out, and that then produces the consequences and the future predictive point that you can almost guarantee whether someone's going to be successful or not with the way they actually talk about their past.
Oh, I love it. You guys are going to have to read for more. The book is coming, I promise, very, very soon. Oh my goodness. Yes, very, very exciting to hear you all talk about this. Okay, Claudia, what about you for this one? What do you want people to know about what you think is important to get to that level of success? Everybody wants it in business.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it short, but I think it's threefold. And one, I'm just going to read a quote that's right behind me. I read this every day because we're all about goals. But what I really believe is you do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. And that's by James Clear. So
oh,
I really think...
Say it again. Say it again. I got to hear that one again. Let's do it. Let's rewind to that. I loved it.
You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems.
Mm.
And that's by James Clear.
Thank you.
I really believe that to have a successful business, we have to have good systems in place. And no system needs to change once in a while. But it's not about the goals only. It's really about the systems. I do believe this with all my heart. The other thing is that as entrepreneurs, I think we're growing, we're learning, we're curious, we want to get better. But what we really have to do is listen, really actively listen to the people we work with and what the languages they use. And I think as a coach, for example, one of the best things I feel like I've done is at the end of a session, even though I think this was a great session because something specific, I always ask, what did you feel like was helpful today? Because at the end of the day, I'm serving to what my clients want and not what I think is best. So, and I think active listening and really pay attention to the language our clients use is extremely important. And lastly, and Jennifer's probably going to laugh because I just used this the other day in a setting where we were together. What I also think makes us, you know, successful is when we know the difference between when something feels kind of off, that we really look at it and say, does this feel wrong or does it feel scary? And when anything feels wrong, we really have to stay away from it. And if it's scary, it's an opportunity to grow. And again, like then do what needs to be done to grow, to step into it, to not be fearful. But any kind of like tension within us is one of the two. And if it's wrong, then stay away. If it's scary, lean into it and grow. And so those are my three things.
Oh my goodness, y'all are dropping such amazing golden nuggets here today. I loved those. It's not about the goals, it's about the systems. Agree so much. A lot of us learned the hard way, right? We learned by taking the action and doing it. And that might have been the hard way without getting guidance. But if you get guidance on systems, I'm going to back that one up. I think that's a big, big deal. So I have one more question for all of you, and I really want you to think about the listeners today. You know, we experts, we like to talk about ourselves as guides and facilitators on this journey. We know that we don't fix people, right? We're empowering them to connect to their own inner wisdom. So Renee, what's one message you have to help our viewers today feel empowered about their business journey?
There's always someone around the corner who may be able to help to support you in the next part of your business journey. Find someone who's further along the track. Don't just look at the people around you who might be at the same level as you. If you want to get to the higher goals, you need to be speaking to people at the next level of growth.
Renee, I loved what you said about that, mostly because I think this is so much more than a book. It's a community of very generous people who are there to help you. And so I'm really glad that you said that first. Like, it's time to reach out if you need help, everybody, right? It's time to reach out. Claudia, what's the message you want to share with the listeners today about helping them to feel empowered on this business journey?
Yes, just to keep my kind of like my audience in mind, like the people that have this distracted brain. What I want them to know that if they feel like something's off and they feel like they're not getting the answers they need when they're on their journey, I want you to hear me. I give you permission to go dig deeper. If you need a label, get the label, but do it with curiosity. Do it with an open mind and not with anger and not with judgment, and never use it as an excuse.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Jennifer, you're going to close us out with this one. So let me repeat this one more time for everybody. I want you to sink in with this, with these answers, and feel your power today. So Jennifer, what's that message you want our listeners to understand so that they can feel empowered on their business journey?
It really is calling out that they do have their own inner wisdom at every possible corner. Oftentimes people are coming to me for advice, and yes, I have a certain expertise and I can provide advice and guidance, but I always try to bring it back to, what are your feelings and needs? I know that sounds like something that an accountant might not really need to talk about, but our feelings and needs coupled with the math is what's going to help us uncover what our inner wisdom is. So just creating a space that allows people to come back to that inner wisdom and realize that it's right there for them.
The emotions and the math. I love it. I love it. I love it. So really just the hugest thank you to all of you today for what you do in the world and for being here to share it with everyone. For our listeners, I know that if you heard something today that really moved you, you're feeling the goosebumps like I am for some of these authors and what they're sharing today. Maybe you're curious. Maybe you have a question, you want to continue the conversation, right? So drop down into the show notes, because I've hooked everybody up with their websites, their links. They are very generously there for you to take the next step and answer that question, give you the support you need, take you the next step on your journey. So please explore, see what they're up to, because it's a lot of awesomeness. And for all of you, you're invited to join our book launch party. That's going to be coming up on July 14th. 11 a.m. Eastern. We're going to be on the Brave Healer Productions Facebook page, but you can also join us on Zoom. And I have some information down below for that. We're going to have all of the authors of The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Successful Soul Professional there, sharing their inspiration with you. We're going to have a fun, fun party day. And if you happen to be listening to this interview anytime after that date, well, that just means you got to hop over to Amazon because the book is ready for you and you can dive in right away, get on your journey. Lastly, today, everyone, remember, your words change the world when you're brave enough to share them. So it is time to be brave. See you next time, everyone.